Bring your empty jars to God. Your time, your talents, your dreams, your willingness, your courage to take a risk, because He's ready to fill all the jars we bring with more than we could ever imagine. Dream big. Most importantly, start now. It's a joy to end one year and start another with some of the best people in the world. And that includes you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We would all like more of God's blessings, more of His favor. Well, it's possible you may be in a bit of a drought right now, feeling like He is nowhere near. But often, that is when God is doing His greatest work in your life. Here's Pastor Wayne, recorded out on his farm, with a message entitled, Positioned for God's Favor.
Today I want to talk to you about positioning ourselves for God's favor. Stay with me. Want to know what I love about our Oregon winters? That's the way the morning fog seems so ethereal, like we're on another distant planet. You know, I was walking across this field earlier today and everything looked so still, so peaceful, so quiet. On the surface, anyway. Because you see, in actuality, there's something powerful happening beneath the surface. Now, every farmer knows this truth. What looks like a dormant season is actually a crucial preparation time. And branches that seem so dead, they're not dead. They're actually fully alive, just waiting and counting the cold days and hours they need to prepare for springtime. And the frozen ground beneath our feet, it's actually breaking down the soil while being enriched for what's coming up. You know, Solomon wrote about it in Ecclesiastes 3. He said this, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." I believe that we're stepping into such a significant season. I mean, right now, it's a favored season. This new upcoming year it'll mark a century, do you know that, of God's faithfulness in our college, New Hope Christian College, 100 years. 100 years ago, our college began as Bible Standard Training School, right here in Eugene. And it was like a seed that was planted in the winter soil, full of latent potential, waiting for God's perfect timing. And now look what He's grown it into. We've got stellar students training for leadership and ministry, full of life and engaged in practical, hands-on ways in our church. In fact, several of them are actually on staff right now among us here at New Hope. We're so thankful for each and every single one of them. But here's what gets me even more excited. I believe we're standing on the edge of another season of extraordinary fruitfulness. The prophet Isaiah painted this picture perfectly when he wrote these words, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish." Today, I want to talk about something that matters for every single one of us. Here it is, how to position ourselves for God's favor. Even in what might seem to be like we're in the middle of a winter season, God's favor is abounding. But here's the key, God's favor isn't accidental, it's intentional. When we align our hearts with His will, and we step out in faith and make room for His presence. In doing so, here it is, we position ourselves to receive His favor. Just like those little birds in that nest, waiting for what is in store for them, our hearts get to be the same posture. My prayer is that New Hope West will be a church that positions itself to host the favor of God in every way, through our devotion to Him, our willingness to take godly risks and step out so we can reach our community for Jesus. It's in 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. There's a story of a widow and some oil. Do you remember reading that? Let me give you the context. This woman was what it felt like to her anyway, the deepest winter of her life. Her husband had died. Creditors were coming to take her sons as slaves because she had no money. She had nothing left. A little jar of oil. That's all she had. So in her desperation, she cried out to the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha now gives her some very unusual instructions. Instead of handing her some money or gift cards, some rent, he said to her, go around to your neighbors and ask for empty jars. And don't ask for just a few. Then he told her to pour what little oil she had into those jars. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were that widow, I might have hesitated, because it doesn't make sense to pour just a little bit of oil into a whole bunch of jars. But she obeyed. She just began pouring oil into the first jar, but it didn't empty that little bit of oil she had. That little thing kept pouring. And then she started pouring it into the second jar, and then the third, and the fourth. And she poured and poured, and God kept multiplying the oil. It just kept flowing and flowing until every jar she had was full. And she had no more jars left. Now, here's the key that I don't want you to miss. The oil didn't stop flowing until the jars ran out. What a powerful picture of God's abundant provision. See, the Bible tells us exactly how it happened in 2 Kings 4. It says this, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Think about that for a minute. The only threshold to God's provision wasn't his power. It wasn't his willingness. It was only limited by the number of empty vessels the widow had prepared. The oil could have kept flowing, but they ran out of jars. You see, sometimes we limit God's outpouring in our lives, not because he's unwilling or not able, but because maybe we haven't positioned ourselves, prepared ourselves adequately to receive what he has in store for us. And we could bring him like a thimble when God would have filled a 55-gallon barrel. We often think small when God had abundance in mind. The widow could have played it safe. She could have asked for only a few jars from her neighbors, but notice what Elisha told her. He said, don't ask for just a few. You know what he did? He encouraged her to step out and take a risk in faith. Maybe even face some embarrassment going door to door to gather more and more empty vessels. It was her willingness to step out in faith that would position her for a miracle. God's favor often works in the same way. He asks us to act in faith first, to bring him our empty jars, whether it's that's our time or relationship, resources. Like a farmer preparing fields in the winter, we're called to act in faith, to put the seed in the ground before we even see or before we're even guaranteed a harvest. But as we step out, he pours out his provision and he pours out his favor. This next year, what are your jars? What jars can you bring? Maybe it's your commitment to spend time in his word daily. So that could be a jar. Maybe it's opening a morning time life group. Maybe it's offering your skills to serve. Whatever it is, remember, God pours when we prepare and position ourselves. Can I share with you one of my favorite jars? Here it is. It's making room. That's right, taking time for God in daily devotions. You know, sometimes we make spending time with God so complicated that we end up doing nothing. We think we need the perfect study Bible or quiet house. Good luck with that when you have kids. Or an hour of uninterrupted time. Believe it or not, by the way, when my kids were young and noisy, I would sometimes actually go outside and sit in my car and do devotions. That was my getaway. Anyway, I like to do my devotions through a process called SOAP, S-O-A-P. The power of SOAP lies in its simplicity. Think about it like your morning coffee routine. Don't overthink it. Just scripture, S-O, observation, A, application, and P, prayer. SOAP gives us those simple steps to start our day with God. Most mornings, I do my devotions with my coffee positioned right next to me. You know, speaking of devotions, a friend of mine made a resolution one year to read the entire Bible. That was cool. I don't know if he knew what he was getting into, but it was cool. He started strong. Brand new study Bible, color-coded pens, and a detailed reading plan. And I remember on January 1st, he posted Genesis 1, complete, hashtag totally blessed. Then by day 5, his post changed. Genesis 12, lots of plagues, a lot of begetting. I'm trudging through. Hopefully I didn't lose one or two of the begettings along the way. And then fast forward to February, he sent me a text that read, I've been in Leviticus for 3 weeks. Pray for me. This book is killing what's left of me. Then this came 2 weeks later. I'm lost in numbers, he said. The Red Sea was bad enough. Now I have to count the Israelites. Can't we just round them off? Maybe use AI, please. I laughed, but I understood. You know, resolutions are hard to stick with when we have to do it alone. And by the way, faith is no different. You know, God never intended us to simply just grow in a vacuum by ourselves. That's why in 2025, we're focusing on two vital things. Not only growing closer to God through devotions, but also we want to zero in on doing life together. The best things happen in community. And by the way, unlike my friend, don't journal on the things you don't understand. There's going to be a bunch of that. Start with the things you do. Anyway, let me encourage you to pick up a journal today and let's begin this journey together. I do my devotions every day and send them out by email. So if you'd like to get in on that mailing list, please mark it down on a Connect card or go to our website or our New Hope West app and you can sign up there. Then we can actually do devotions together. Now here's a second way to bring another quote jar unquote to God. It's by doing life together. Making room for others in your life wherein you can serve God together in community. The early church shows us exactly what that looks like. Acts chapter 2 tells us, and I quote, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And every day they continued to meet and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincerity of heart. You know, God designed us to thrive in community. That's just the way he hardwired us. And we grow better that way, together. That's exactly why life groups are so crucial to us. They're not just another program or a box to check off. No, it's a modern day expression of Acts chapter 2. In life groups, we make room for the kind of community the early believers experienced. You see, when someone in your life group is like going through a tough season, you can be right there to encourage them. And when someone's celebrating a victory, you're right there to rejoice with them. Romans 12:15 puts it this way. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You can't do that unless you're in community. You know what I've noticed in our life groups? The same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2 can happen today. People start sharing their lives. They start praying together. I mean, not just talking about prayer. They pray together. And they start serving together, not just discussing service. They actually put their hands to the plow together, just like those early believers. And they find themselves experiencing God's favor in ways they've never seen before. This kind of community is rare. And to those who don't know Jesus yet, to them it's like precious. Never seen it before. Because you see, when people see genuine, caring relationships, when they witness a group of people who truly love and support each other, they want to know what makes that possible. That's why the early church saw people added to their number daily. Well, that's our vision for life groups, not just more meetings. No. It's more meaningful connections, not just discussions, but real discipleship, not just groups, but genuine community. And when we position ourselves for God's favor, He does more than we could have ever asked for or even imagined. Speaking of community, next week, I'm really thrilled to share about something and reveal something that the team here has been working on for quite a while. You might have noticed that after service, we all want to hang out and talk, but we really don't have a great space for that, especially if it's raining, which here in Eugene, it usually does. So we're working on making room for what we're calling the gathering place. Cool name, the gathering place, a covered area just right outside where you enter that we can actually spend time together, a place where your kids can visit and you can catch up with friends. It's where we can have time for conversation. There'll be a bookstore, two different entrances, and moments that we can actually engender that doesn't happen in a rush because we're trying to get to our parking spaces or our cars. And it's not about just building something fancy. It's about creating space, making room for relationships to grow. Why? Because sometimes the most important ministry happens in those unplanned moments. It happens in the space in between going from one place to another, in between services, in between the church building and the parking lot. It happens over a cup of coffee. It's the spontaneous prayer with a friend. You see, that's what excites me the most. That's where Acts chapter 2 comes in and becomes relevant to us today. When we position ourselves for God's favor, when we make room for genuine community to take place. How often have I seen that it's there that God shows up in ordinary ways? Just like those early believers in Acts, we get to experience His presence together. You know what else I love about watching God work? He's always preparing us for something greater, more, brighter. Those moments after service when someone stops to pray with you, that conversation in that little life group shifts your perspective. It could clear up some things. And that friend who shows up right when you need them, man, those aren't accidents. Those are God moments. God moments that we had enough sense to simply make room for. And just as winter prepares the ground for springtime's abundance, this season is preparing us for what God has planned. The widow's miracle started with empty jars, but it started with a willing heart and a willingness to risk, to step out and risk. That's all God needs. Bring your empty jars to God. Your time, your talents, your dreams, your willingness, your courage to take a risk, because He's ready to fill all the jars we bring with more than we could ever imagine. Dream big. But most importantly, start now. It's a joy to end one year and start another with some of the best people in the world. And that includes you. You know, I'm so thankful for this last year. Many great things happened. But I am anticipating and thrilled for this coming year as we position ourselves for God's favor. From all of us at New Hope, Happy New Year. God bless you.
For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have an awesome day, and may you truly be positioned for God's favor in the year to come. Aloha.
Our God over all, our future is in you. All fear and all doubt are lost in your presence. When all else fades away, your promises will forsaken. We have a promise. We have a future. Our God is for us, greater within us. We have a promise.